Okay, let's call to order the November 2nd, 2011 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments. Could we have roll call, please?
Larson? McGill?
Here.
Gilmeyer?
Here.
Scarlett?
Here.
Miller?
Here. To the board, you've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Do we have any changes or additions that you'd like to add? Okay, if not, then all in favor of approval of tonight's agenda, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay. Also, in the packet that was sent to you, we received the minutes of the August 3rd meeting, 2011. Do we have any corrections or comments on the August 3rd meeting minutes of the Story County Board of Adjustments?
I move approval of the minutes.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Okay, what, have you signed in? If you'd do that before we get started, we appreciate it. Do you have any comments from the public? Well, he's over there. I assume not. Thank you. Also in the packet that the board received, we have got a meeting schedule for 2012 for the Board of Adjustments. And I'd like to ask for a motion to adopt this calendar.
Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to adopt the calendar that was presented in the board packet. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Okay. We will then move on to the hearings for this evening to kind of get you acquainted with how this ends up working. First of all, the planning staff is going to present a staff report to us, which will go through the letters and the details. We will hear about any letters or communications that have been received by the public. We will then give the applicant a chance to present your case as we go through this. Normally, we allow time for comments from the public after that. Since we have no public, that probably will not be there. The hearing will then be closed, and then the board will begin to deliberate to come up with an answer, and then we may have questions. If so, we would ask you to approach the podium, but otherwise the board will deliberate and come up with an answer this evening. So with that being the case, we'd like to open up the variance VAR 01-11, the Kofolt variance.
Good evening. As you mentioned, this is VAR 0111, the Kofolt variance request. Looking at the general property location, section 24 of Township. The property is located at 31094 730th Avenue. It's located on the east side of 730th Avenue, approximately one-fifth of a mile south of 310th Street. Size of this parcel is approximately 44 acres. Zoning in place on the property, A1 agricultural. Land use, it is currently assessed as an agricultural land use. There is a single family dwelling. Assessor's website does show two corn cribs, a shed, and a silo located on the property. Looking at the the development plan framework map designation, it is designated as agricultural conservation area. It does contain some natural resource areas. And the requested variance is to the flag yard setback requirements of the A1 zoning district. This is a copy of the SPO map that was mailed to all the surrounding property owners. You can see the property, kind of a unique shaped property there, with the orange dashed lines and then the surrounding property owners that were notified with the blue lines there. Just kind of going over some of the findings of facts on this one. Again, there is a single-family dwelling located on the site. It was built in year 1974. Trying to look through some of our old permits, we weren't able to find a permit on file for the dwelling. stands that everything does conform to land development regulations right now as far as height, setbacks, et cetera. Looking at some of the 2008 aerial photography that we have, again, there is some showing of cribs, the shed, and the silo there. It's located in the jut out as the applicant describes the area, and I'll show you here in a picture soon kind of what that area looks like. And again, all those structures do conform to the land development regulations. More recently, on August 10th, 2009, there was a plot of survey that was filed in the recorder's office, which created the subject property in its unique shape. That 44-acre parcel was created out of six different quarter-quarter sections of land. And then last October 4th, there was an application submitted for a variance to the flag yard setback requirements. The particular request is to allow for a new accessory structure as close as 12 feet to the flag lot line, where there is usually 20 feet required. This application, as usual, went under interagency review on October 12th of this year. There were no comments or concerns noted from the team, and then surrounding property owners were notified on October 17th, and legal notifications were published on October 20th regarding this subject hearing. Looking at the property here, again, I'm going to kind of focus in on this area in the square right here. You can kind of see there's just a large timber area back here. But again, the majority of everything that you'll see is just kind of in this area right here. And if we zoom in on that, first you can see where that single-family dwelling is located right there. And then looking at this jut out right here, you can kind of see an array there of those accessory structures that I was talking about. And again, I just want to note that these are 2008 aerial photos. And looking at the plan that the applicant has, I'm assuming that some of these buildings have been taken out. I'm not sure which ones. But when you look at where he's proposing to put that accessory structure kind of over on top of that current structure right there, again, you can just assume that some of those have been taken out. But again, the proposed structure that he's putting in, this would be considered the side lot line down here. The site plan does show a 12-foot setback. And then this right here would be considered the flag lot line. And right here, I think that's the 12-foot setback, and up here it's more of about 16, and again, there's 20-foot required there. And if I'm able to go back here real quick, reason that is a flag lot line. You have 730th Avenue, which travels north and south right here, and you can kind of see it does kind of finger out here a little bit to make a connection with the road, but again, this lot line right here being a flag lot line because it does not have frontage on 730th Avenue. Go through this real quick. These are the legal principles in which you have to review a variance under. I think the board's well aware of those, so I won't go too much detail on them. What I will do is I'll try to go through each one of them individually and kind of summarize what we had written in the staff report. The first one, we did note that reasonable return may have been established. Again, that's up to the board to decide if it has or not. Again, with that, staff noted that there is a single-family dwelling located on the property, as well as those four accessory structures, and again, that's what our assessment records currently show as being out there. The next finding of a necessary hardship focuses on the plight of the owner being due to unique circumstances and not to the general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. We do note always that this usually refers to topographical limitations of a site. We did note that there is elevation concerns throughout the approximate 44 acres. However, that jut-out area, as identified by the applicant, is relatively flat in nature, with about 1 acre of land in and around that area, not having having minimal topographical limitations. And then there is also about a half acre of land, about 300 feet to the east, that we also did note. If you look at the topo lines here on the site, you can kind of see that 1 acre area that I'm talking about right in here, and that half acre an area that I'm talking about right there. And then again, you can see the rest of the property having those topographical limitations associated with it. The last part of the finding of a necessary hardship focuses on the use to be authorized by the variance, not altering the essential character of the locality. The proposed 1,600 square foot accessory structure, definitely not unique to established farmsteads in the rural area. This particular site is located nearly two-fifths a mile, or about 2,000 feet away from the nearest public road. That in itself does create a visual buffer and gives the feel of a more than adequate setback by passerbys on 730th Avenue. Focusing on part two of the legal requirements, the granting of the variance should not be contrary to the public interest. We did note here that setbacks typically are required for the provision of adequate air and circulation, as well as protection from fire and the separation of diverse activities. The property surrounding / abutting the jut out is currently used in agricultural crop production. Then the requested building is a typical size of buildings used in agricultural operations. And again, the board will have to ask themselves again in this situation, is does the proposed create a burden to the current health, safety, and general welfare of the public? In our staff report, I think we noted that staff did not believe that it would. Looking at the final legal requirement, it states that the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan as well as the land development regulations shall be protected. Again, the development plan calls for this area to remain agricultural in nature. Getting into some of the LDR requirements, going over what setbacks are required for. We did note that the A1 district typically requires a 50-foot front setback and a 20-foot flag yard setback. That flag yard being less because typically flag lots are buffered from the public right-of-way by other uses and other properties. And again, the variance that we're looking at here this evening is a request for a lesser flag yard setback from the property, which surrounds and abuts the jut out. And what the board will have to determine in this particular legal requirement is, does decreasing the flag yard setback requirement go against the spirit and intent of the land development regulations? So with that summary, I'll put your alternatives here on the screen above, and I will answer any questions on the particular request that you may have.
I have a question on interpretation.
Yes.
If I go back to the land development regs, obviously we've got exhibits in there that have certainly what I would consider to be a traditional flag lot. Okay? A little exhibit, and it's pretty clear in that kind of example. What I'm trying to understand a little bit is, as we deal with irregularly shaped lots, and we have a hard time dealing with irregularly shaped lots, and we have one of those obviously here, nothing talks about having more than one flag line as you go across the lot. And I'm trying to understand how this jut out fits in with the definitions. And the definitions didn't seem to, I mean, they clearly define that the, what I would consider the current front down there as being a flag lot. That's, I think, pretty clear. But now as you start to move further down the lot line, I'm a little less clear because by definition I couldn't find anything in the land regs that helped me understand how to deal with the irregularity now, I'll just say.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in the regs?
And I don't have a copy of the regulations here, so I can't speak to, and I apologize, I can't speak to maybe exactly what the definitions say, but just going basic philosophy that we've always gone off of as far as setback requirements go, that front setback typically is the 30 feet more than the flag yard setback because you want to create that visual buffer from the right-of-way. So the further you get back from the right-of-way and then you start having those flag lots that definitely have a seen front on them, yet they are not abutting a road, that's where you get that lesser number. And then, so we've got to, when we look at everything, you've got to start determining that, you know, what lot line that is. So obviously here.
Now one of your views, you went out further. So go to one of the views that goes.
Right here?
Yeah. So I mean, if I look at that and if I take your definition, we've got four flag lot line areas. Is that how we're supposed to interpret that?
And I think, yeah, I mean, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong on this one.
The one to the left is clearly.
Right here, you're talking?
Question whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now we come down to the first shutout.
And these ones right here.
To be, by your definition, number two. The one to the right would be number three, and the one to the right again would be number four. Is that how we're supposed to look at this?
Yeah, and like I said, I think, you know, when you start looking at everything in kind of a perfect square, you know, you have the side lot line right here. You probably have a rear lot line right here. Side lot line right there as well, too. Again, with no clear cut on the definition right there, I guess my interpretation looking at it when I looked at this one was that was a flag lot line right here. I would assume that the same is for those two right there as well.
The fact that it's not parallel to the other one, is that relevant or irrelevant?
You're talking to this one right here or that one?
In looking, if this is at all accurate, it would appear that jut out is not parallel to the other.
To the rear lot line or?
Parallel to either one of them. It appears to be at an angle.
Yeah.
Does that make any difference?
I wouldn't think so, but we don't have a copy of the regulations up here, do we? You don't have one? Okay. I'd have to see exactly what the regulations state on that, but my interpretation, just thinking of it again and how we looked at it, was that was the flag lot line, that was the side that would be considered the rear on that one. But I see what you're getting at, and I think it is a good question.
I'm just trying to understand, because the regs, as I read it, were very clear on what I would call a traditional flag orientation. But as we come to irregular-shaped properties, I was trying to figure out, okay, how am I supposed to look at this piece of land and understand how it fits in against that?
Mm-hmm. And of course, the board has, you know, you can go, I guess, against our interpretation of that, you know, being a flag lot line, that's your prerogative. But, again, I think when we reviewed this case, that's how we reviewed that, so.
Question and clarification on my part. To conform to the regulations, the structure needs to go 8 feet further to the east?
Yeah, this way. Yep. And going back to that real quick, I just have a copy of the regulations here on Leanne's phone, but it's going back to me, but it says on a flag lot line, the lot parcel or track line essentially parallel in between the front and the rear lot line. So I think it's that essentially parallel. It's not perfectly parallel, but on that one, I think we would consider that to be essentially parallel without a definition of the word essentially.
Any other questions for the staff on the presentation? And do we have any letters or any other communications from the public?
I know there was one person in particular that stopped in and discussed it, but I don't know if she had any formal comments or not. Yeah, just the change in the site plan was all. Yeah, and the person who stopped in on the site plan, you can kind of see where they show that that setback on the would be the southwest corner of the proposed building, the 12 feet ran into the surrounding property owner, and she just requested that the official site plan show that 12 feet actually is not, or the number 12 on there wasn't located on the other property, so we just made a administrative correction to that and move it up. So.
Okay, nothing else for staff at this time. Thank you, and we will move to have the applicant present their case. If you'd step over to the podium, please, we'd appreciate it. And if you'd identify yourself, and then we'll hear whatever you want to tell us.
Okay. My name is Nicholas Kofelt. I'm the property owner, along with my wife. I just wanted to say thank you for hearing my application, and thank you to the Planning and Zoning Board for your research. I'll start by doing a quick update. In July 11th, that evening, we had that 110-mile-an-hour windstorm blew directly through our property, knocked down three of the four structures that were listed. So we have one corn crib left. It's the one that's north to south.
So you're...
It's the one that's
your
left.
Your catch here is...
Yes. Yeah. The one where they had pointed out that the new building will go approximately over the other one, that was one that had been renovated, and this new building's being reconstructed using my insurance claim. So basically the reason I'm applying for the variance is because I'm just simply requesting for the flag lot line to be considered as a side lot line. You can ignore the 12 feet. I'm just adding an additional 2 feet. I'm an engineer, and just providing myself a little extra safety factor in case that building's not surveyed in exactly where it needs to be or anything like that. So really just looking for 10 feet on both sides. The reason I have it so close to the flag lot line is because I intend on expanding the building at some point in the future, and I don't want to be limited by the rear lot line or the line that's approximately 150 feet that goes to the northeast from that east to west line. So we intend on planning or intend on adding in approximately 40 feet to the build, or excuse me, 80 feet to the building to make it 120 feet overall, and we don't want to encroach on those property on the setbacks of the property line.
This being built on the site of a building that was demolished?
Yes. Yes, there was a corn crib that was built in approximately 1950 according to the assessor site. And I'm sure when the next time the assessor comes out, they'll see that, you know, all those structures were lost. The silo was lost. The corn crib was lost. The shed was lost. We have one corn crib that was extensively damaged that we're going to attempt to fix. And then we'll also have this building in replace of those other ones.
Is there a concrete slab or anything, or is it just bare dirt?
All that has been already buried. The insurance company is covering a demolition and site prep for a new building. And so we had an excavation company come in and basically remove all that. So it was taken away. I said buried, but taken away. The entire site was leveled, so all the grass that was there is now buried, and all the trees and everything. So it's a blank canvas is where it is right now. So as level as the planning and zoning staff says it was, it's even more level now because we've come in and completely taken out any undulations in elevation and made it flat.
Corners of where the new building you're proposing are sitting basically on the corners of where the corn crib was when it went down, right?
No, the previous corn crib was approximately 30 to 40 feet off the flag lot line, and the side setback from the east to west line was the same. So we're just basically moving the structure over. And to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't even ask of the variance if I hadn't have already had that structure there, but I know that that area that was there was just a waste of space. There was nothing I could do with it because there's no room for me to get in there and turn my tractor around other than when the neighbor's got his crops out. I have a good relationship with the neighbor that owns the surrounding row crop field as well as the neighbor to the south, who would be basically the only person that could tell the difference. And I've talked it over extensively with both of them. We have a real good relationship, and they were both okay with it. So,
is this a traditional pole barn, or what's this going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a wick building. It's a, most people know as a Morton building, a pole frame structure.
Which side is the driveway going to be on, the overhead doors and so forth?
It's all going to be on the north side. The south side will have, I have a pair of windows on the south side, just because of the south light. There's nothing on the west side, and then the east side is currently just a straight wall, and that would be where the future expansion would be.
Won't need to deal with the neighbor in terms of getting in and out of the building or using it in any way?
All the entrance and exit to the building is directly north towards the house. I don't have anything else.
Questions for the applicant at this point? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate your presentation. We don't have anyone here from the public this evening, so we will close this hearing and begin deliberations. I think initially, before we start to talk about the merits of the case, as we start to go through that, we do have the findings of fact, and I'd like to go ahead and act on those as to whether we believe that the facts as presented by the staff are adequate and complete.
I move we adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented by the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill, a second from Larson to adopt the findings of facts as presented by a staff report prepared presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll call, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Gielmeyer? McGill?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Okay, that brings us down to looking at the legal principles in the staff report, and I think based upon the conversation and the questions that we've had so far, this kind of sifts down to the fact of whether we believe that the interpretation of the development regs of calling this a flag lot line as opposed to the side lot line are reasonable interpretation, or whether we think that the request to treat it as a side lot line is a reasonable request. We don't have a lot of precedence leading with this, to be honest with you. We don't have anything in the land reg that I'm aware of that deals with these irregular lot lines. So we're clearly in a spot here where we have another unique situation. The things that ultimately we've got to deal with is the findings of unnecessary hardship, which we've been through those before, about reasonable return, about the plight of the owner being unique and not the general conditions in the neighborhood, and that the use will not alter the essential character, and then second and third, that the variance will not be contrary to public interest in the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and Land Development Regulations are protected, which in this case, which is strange, it may well be the third item as much as not. Often it comes down to the reasonable return.
Thoughts from board members?
If I understand this correctly, if a new structure were built basically identically positioned to the old one that had blown down, we would have been in conformance with this flag lot, right? It's because the indication is that they were 30 or 40 feet.
Yes, because it's been
to the east.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your question about the foundation was a pertinent one.
Yeah.
Because we've been there before.
Legally conforming.
Right. But all that's gone.
You were looking for the stone, is what you were looking for.
I would have looked for a stone.
For future planning, he would enhance the value of that property if he is truly going to put a 40 by 120 foot shed on that property. The farmers in that area, building of that size, you know, would be big enough for equipment, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this ultimately comes down to, you know, responsible use of the land, which I've always had a strong feeling for as far as that part goes. I don't know how to deal with the irregularity. We run into a lot of irregular lots.
Mm-hmm.
And so decisions that we make on this regard are, whether we say or not, it has a certain amount of precedent setting without anything that guides us on these lots. Typically, we have topographical constraints or other constraints. We've got a well that's here, you know, that's in the way a little bit. But we don't have any other topographical reasons why this doesn't have to go there. Obviously, we have a lot of land here to be able to deal with.
unfortunately, I can talk myself into this because I have to work with the right.
Yeah, we tend to be pretty pragmatic when it comes to irregularly shaped lots.
Yeah.
But often the landowner's hamstrung by doing some things maybe he even would prefer not to do, but you know, the irregular shape of the lot kind of forces you to. I guess I have a follow-up question. I don't know if we need to have the applicant approach the microphone again.
Sure.
Question about alternate locations at the site. If I recall, the topography map showed a couple of flat spots, one just to the north, I suppose between the site and the house, and then another landing further east, another flat spot.
Yeah, the site that's southeast of the house, there is a roll-off right there. So there'd be significant dirt work that has to be done right there, as well as our septic drain fields in that area. So it'd be a sensitive area. Further to the east here is quite a bit away from the house, the utilities, the, you know, your electrical entrance into the property is at the service pole, which is approximately right here where the old silo was. So it'd be a difference of running electricity 75 yards versus a couple hundred yards, which is a pretty extensive financial burden.
Kind of a random building out in the middle of a
path. Exactly. And that area there, you can kind of see it with the topography, is fairly rolling, so there's not as much room to, I mean, there'd be plenty of drainage away from the building, but there's not very much room to get in and out of the building without starting to deal with slopes and elevation changes.
Between the rest of the farmstead and the new building, if you put it further east, you'd have to deal with the topography getting to and from and flat spot to park in front of the building.
Correct. And really what it comes down to is, and I think you touched on it before, Mr. Miller, is that, you know, there's a little bit of a well in the way, the other structure's in the way. We're trying to get it over as far as we can so that we have full access into the building. When we do that extension, if we were to park farm machinery in there, whether it be, you know, a large tractor, combines, implements, or even go all the way up to, you know, a semi or a trailer, you're going to start to have interferences and problems getting those in there.
Say that the corn crib did require some access on the neighbor's land to get come around to the south side, or is access to that, what, the old building, was that always from the north also?
Yeah, it was always from the north. It had an opening to the south when I purchased it, but I had renovated the structure. I had closed it up and basically created a shop there, and that was what was destroyed. So that access was there, but it was never used. The only time I was even able to use it was, again, when, you know, after the growing season when the crops were out and, our neighbor had said, yeah, if the crops are out, you're welcome to get in and out of there. And I had used it to clean it out from that side because the previous landowner had used it to store hay, and there was bales upon bales of hay literally 3 feet down into the floor, just. So we ended up going in there with a skid loader and tractor, digging all that out. But that was the only time I ever went out the south end of that building. So, and even at that point, I don't even know that I encroached on their land. It was just he had said, yeah, if you need to, that's fine. But
he did ask a what if question. If we deny this request on the basis of you're not getting 8 feet that you want, are you just going to come back in with a second application to move the building 8 feet over?
Yeah, as far as the building permit goes, because at that point, wouldn't I be within the guidelines?
Right, but it'd be a second application. I'm just wondering the eventuality of where we're at here.
The eventuality is that, I mean, I've got, my insurance company said, here's this much to replace the building, so we want to put up a building to satisfy that request, as well as we basically have a front yard full of implements and equipment because we don't have anywhere to store it right now. If the process denied, I think that the biggest consequence is further down the road, the building's going to be smaller. If we're moving it over 10 feet, and again, I've got 12 shown on here, but I want to maintain that buffer strip. But if we move it over that 10 feet, that's just an extra bay that we're not utilizing in the future. So, and at this point, to be honest with you, I haven't
other than knowing that there is an interference problem, I haven't staked out and stood in where we would have an eventual door and said, okay, you know, how close am I to the adjoining structure, or the corn crib? If you look at the map, I've got it. My pencil cat is a little off, but that corn crib is probably, if I had to put a distance to it, I'd say it's probably 25 feet from where that future line would be. So if I'm backing in our 30-foot gooseneck trailer, I'm having a pretty hard time doing that. So I'm just trying to get it over as far as I can. The doors in a Morton building, if you're aware, they have to be on a bay. So losing that bay moves that door. So
it's pretty hard for us to make this decision based upon something that might or might not be built on the future.
And I can understand that. Yeah, and I can understand that.
But in actuality, we're sitting here, what we have to struggle with is 8 feet.
Yeah.
Planning standpoint, again, I come down to the value of the acreage. I don't see, I guess, what we're getting a regularly shaped lot, which is unique to start with. I guess I'm am I reading? Sorry. As I said, I'm struggling with the fact I don't think that this would be against the spirit and the intent of the development plan regulations. The jut out is out in the agricultural area. The property is not really changing the flavor of the area. The building itself, for future planning, I realize it's only 8 feet, but once you get a building built, pretty hard to start shoveling it around. So I guess I could be talked into.
But the logical place for it, I mean, it's part of a farmstead. It ties in with the other buildings and maybe future buildings as well. Doesn't really make sense to build it anywhere else.
Yeah.
Entitled to replace the building that was blown over in a storm in a similar location. Makes perfect sense in every other respect. I mean, you don't want to build it next to the house. You don't want to build it 100 yards out in the middle of the pasture.
If I could make one more comment, too, as far as the interpretation, and definitely not saying anybody's interpretation is incorrect, but the interpretation of the word essentially parallel, again, I'm in an engineering background. That lot line is a good 20 degrees out of parallel. So if that helps clarify it, I know it's kind of hard to see from a very zoomed out aerial, but when you get in there, there's a significant angle to it going away. That's why you can see on a 40-foot building, you're gaining 4 feet. So it's, you know, it's a 1 in 10, basically. Thank you.
I'll bring it to the table. I'll move to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
I think before we go on with that, if
we're going to adopt that, the analysis that's on there on item 3, because if I read where you're headed, is that this would not be we would have to probably say that number 3 does not apply in terms of the interpretation of the flag lot line. I think we have to think that one through.
Maybe I can help you out here real quick. Two things, and I was going to mention that as well. First of all, with 1A, since the applicant has provided a little bit more evidence about
We've got four accessory buildings listed there. Obviously, three of them have been destroyed. Definitely would recommend adding maybe a verb in there talking about how three of those, all but one of those corn cribs have been destroyed and are no longer present. Again, we are going straight off assessment records and old aerial photography. So, you know, as far as reasonable return being met, I think you get to a point there where maybe that gives you a little bit of justification to say that reasonable return has yet to be reestablished in a sense. So I just wanted to point that out. And then as far as number three, the sentence says the board questions if the request may go against spirit of intent. You know, whatever way you decide to go on that one, just maybe explaining why it doesn't go against the spirit of intent or why it does go against the spirit of intent. And then whatever you guys come up with, we'll add to the final decision and order. If that helps out.
The point that's being made, and I mean, we've got all of the actions down below that are documented.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we merely accept all of those, then you are ultimately headed, as is, you're ultimately headed down to a path to deny without doing some sort of modification.
Okay.
Would you like to amend your motion?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'll amend the motion move to adopt a decision regarding the legal principles in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments with the exception of number three.
1A
also?
Yes. It was suggested that we add the statement in there that says, as well as two cribs, a shed and a silo, three of which were destroyed in a 2010 storm. Leaving the property is not yet returning to a reasonable return following the storm.
Okay.
I think that was, I like the wording that was used. Not yet returned. I think is the key element, and then bringing into question the interpretation of the side lot line, not necessarily denying it, but bringing into question on item three the interpretation of this particular line as being a flag line as opposed to a sideline. Because as a sideline, it's applicable, it meets the regulations.
I understand.
Okay.
Okay, so we'd add also
start over.
Yeah. Move to adopt a decision regarding the legal principles and staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment with except item 1A and item 3.
We've discussed. We have a motion from McGill and a second from Larson, which essentially states this, that we have a motion to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles in the staff report prepared and presented to Story County Board of Adjustments with the exception that item 1A should indicate that three of the four structures that are indicated were destroyed in the 2010 storm and that the property has not yet been returned to a reasonable return following that storm. And item 3, which will bring into question the interpretation of this lot line as being a flag lot line as opposed to a side lot line. That would be it. Roll call, please.
Gilmeyer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Oh, with that, then we can move to the final motion, which is a clean one.
Need to restate any of our previous conditions?
Shouldn't have to. Well, and as...
Stick with a pretty minute.
Here's a quote you hold by that.
And I'll move to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number DAR01-11, as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all legal principles have been satisfied.
Second that.
Okay, we got a motion from Larson and a second from Fleilar to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number VAR01-11, as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and the staff report prepared and presented, finding that all legal applicable principles have been satisfied. Roll.
McGill?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Gilmeyer?
Your application is approved. Do we have any other business to bring to the board this evening? Staff comments? Our next meeting, we understand that we do have a meeting in December. But there has been an application, so we will be meeting, so you might mark your calendars accordingly. And with that, we will stand adjourned.